With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Roth.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 503 with me, Rop. Big Sook is right over there.
Come on, Rop!
We are partying for you. We are here for you.
Excited.
We are here because, well...
Someone has to be.
Yeah, and we want to present some sense of normalcy to you.
Sure.
Because all your lives are upended by, you know, the pandemic that's going on. But we're here.
So and we will continue to be here. Well, at least until they tell us that we can't be.
Or until one of us gets sick.
That's possible. Although, if that happened, couldn't we just do it from home?
We could. Chris Cuomo did last night.
Yeah, so.
I tuned into his show to see what he would say. Boy, I tell you, that guy's confident.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, look at him. He's an Adonis. It's not going to get him,
he'll
right?
He'll tell you about it.
is he doing push-ups live on air or whatever?
Well, no, he looked pretty good. I mean, he's tested positive. He looked pretty good. He looked, you know, I mean, you could tell he was a little under the weather, but yeah. He said his symptoms weren't too bad. And he did a show, but he made a point to say, I'm very strong and you don't need to worry about me. Quite strong.
Doing arm curls.
Did I mention that I'm very strong?
Do you want me to take off my shirt to prove how strong I am? All right, fine, I'll do it.
But then he would be like, well, it's not about me. It's not about me.
Yeah, but it's a little bit about me.
Yeah, just letting you know, I'm really strong.
I think Chris Cuomo likes himself.
Loves himself some Chris Cuomo. Dude, that guy looks at himself in the mirror constantly. We all know that guy.
Oh, yeah.
So he's doing good, if you're worried about him. I was just reading from the state's epidemiologist,
mm-hmm.
Dean Seidlinger.
Sure. That quite frankly sounds made up, but.
Dean Seidlinger. He is quoted as saying that, now don't let this go to your head like Chris Cuomo, okay, people?
Okay.
We need to continue to buckle down and social distance and stay in. But he is saying that according to the numbers, Oregon might just be the number one state in the country for how well we have stemmed the tide with our social distancing measures.
Get right the hell out of town.
Yeah. He said that there is very strong evidence that Oregon's coronavirus restrictions are working quite well. I don't know about you. I feel like in Portland, and of course, we haven't traveled outside of Portland, so I don't know what it's like in other towns in the state, but I feel like here in the city, people are taking this seriously. Like, there's not a lot of people out there.
It's hard to know because, like, I'm not outside of going to work.
Well, but that's it, though. Like, look at the streets, man. People are, it's not crowded out there. And now, of course, you're always going to have examples of people who, you know, you're at a store or something and they brush up against you or don't really take it as seriously as they should. But generally speaking,
yeah,
I feel like you can tell, man, people are hunkering down.
I feel
and it's
like
working.
That. Yeah.
It's working.
But again,
whereas I think there's a lot of other places you could go in the country where you'd look around and go, man, they're playing with fire.
Florida.
Exactly. Yeah, parts of Florida. Yeah, for sure. So anyway, he said, yeah, we're doing great.
Give yourself a Barry Horowitz, Oregon. Way to go. Yeah.
But he said, keep going. We've got a ways to go. We have to go until at least early May, they're saying.
So at least from my, I'm with you because I don't go out anywhere. But when you do go out, whether it's to pick up food or if you go to the store or whatever on your way to work, I'm with you. It does not seem like I ever encounter it. In fact, the McDonald's line today picking up lunch for Mike, that was probably the most people I've seen. And everyone was in their cars. That line was insane. But outside of that, I have not seen crowds. I guess Costco. Like, if you try to go to Costco, you're going to see a crowd.
Yeah.
But they even, like, all most of the stores now, I don't know if you've been to a grocery store lately, but they've got, like, a whole check-in process now where, like, you have to... You can't just flood in. They're letting so many people in at a time. And
that's
New
true.
Seasons has dots on the floor.
Yeah.
They've set up big orange dots that you have to like stand in order to like get to the counter.
They have that at Home Depot too. They've X'd it out where they want you to stand.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, that's all good. Like that's true. It's not just about people just locking themselves inside their homes. It's when you do have to go out.
Yeah.
Because some of us do, like you and I are working and things, you still need to follow the social distancing measures. And people are doing that, generally speaking.
I went and picked up lunch for myself before I went and got Mike his delicious McDonald's. I got a little just like chicken and veggie bowl from this teriyaki place.
Yeah, you did.
And it was kind of, I walked in and I hadn't been in since all this started. There was no tables or chairs, right? They had removed them all from the dining area. And they had set up two rows of tables in front of the counter so that you could not get there. And then they had a little basket that they reached out and you put your card or your money in there. And then they put your food like on a little tray and then slid it out to you.
Right.
Yeah. They had a barrier like you'd see at a concert.
Yeah, man.
Two table barrier where you could not approach the counter.
I like it when my coffee guy hands me the lid for my coffee with tongs.
Yes. Taking it very
surgically.
Yeah, they're not messing around.
And that's what you got to do.
Yeah. And the lady today had gloves and masks.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, no one at the KC Teriyaki in Vancouver is getting the COVID.
I think I told you this, but I don't remember. So I'll tell you again real quick. Went to Home Depot.
Yeah.
Because our construction project continues.
Washington, they shut those down, but Oregon, you can keep doing them.
Yeah,
right?
They're still going.
Yeah.
And I'm happy about that. I'm like, all right. I mean, I'm staying away, but... generally speaking, I went to Home Depot and we got one of those flatbeds, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just grab it, like with my hands.
Oh, you shouldn't do that. That's a war crime. You gotta wipe that thing down.
Well, I did think about that after I grabbed it. Cause you know, it's those types of things. It's like, damn it. Why did I do that?
Yep.
But anyway, you go in the line, cause you have to stand in line to go in.
Yeah.
Now they just only let so many people in. So we get to the front of the line and I push my little cart in and there's a woman standing there with spray bottles and mask and gloves and cleaning supplies. And she's like, would you like me to disinfect that for you? I'd be like, well, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Put some of that on my hands.
And she sprays something onto a yellow cloth and she hands me the cloth. And I take the cloth and I start wiping down the handle of the
flip cart,
the cart. She flipped.
Uh-oh.
She was like, no, don't do that. She's like, That's for your hands. I'm like, I don't know.
You're touching the cart. So if you clean your hands, then you touch the
cart. I don't know. I don't know the rules. She goes, she dressed me down. She's like, dude, that's for the.
You dumb son.
She's like, you idiot. That's for your hands. And I was going to clean the handle of the cart. I'm like, I don't know. There's not a sign. I haven't read the textbook. I'm sorry.
Rob,
she shamed the S out of me.
You're a dumbass.
And
clearly that lady was in the right. I will tell you because like people.
She was petrified though. She was like, I mean, like you could see the look in her eyes, like.
So all these places
freaking
are doing
out about
it, like
it.
Home Depot, and again, New Seasons has these orange dots. You know
By the way, I have a little cough.
Someone's saying at Albertsons they've got the plexiglass that's set up for the checkers now. You know the one place where it seems like it's total Thunderdome, anything goes. Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been in there.
There's no. Well, I went in there looking for toilet paper for you.
Yeah. Well, I did too. Oh, actually, that's not true. We did too.
Yeah. And so
when you lied to us about where the toilet paper
where the
was.
Toilet paper was.
It wasn't there.
I got some at Walmart. But when I went into the Walmart, it was funny because all the places now have all this, you know, these different kind of security measures and whatnot, social distancing. You went into the Walmart, nothing. Just whatever. It's business as usual. Come as you are.
Yeah, but it's not nearly as crowded.
No, no.
What if I started huffing that cloth? I think she would have been like, oh, wow, here's a man ahead of his time.
This guy likes to party.
All right. Well, coming up here, we will discuss the Tiger Phil television golf match.
Sure.
The latest on that. You hear what they're saying about that, big fella?
I did hear what they're saying about that.
And that's a real thing. And then also, who is Anthony Brown? We'll talk about this quarterback Oregon got. And then coming up tonight in the club, we have a myriad of audio. And a myriad of audio means one thing and one thing only.
Oh, okay.
That means fun with audio.
But we
have multiple pieces.
Multiple pieces, but from one singular source?
No. All different.
Multiple sources.
We're going to find out.
Fun with audios.
We're gonna find out what OJ thinks of Tiger King.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Really? OJ's in on this?
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course he is.
The juice.
Hot takes.
Yeah.
And by OJ, you mean yours truly.
The juice, yeah. What up, Twitter world?
It's yours truly.
So we'll get to that. That'll be in the club right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Go Beavers! How about that?
What they have in their loins.
Number five.
Wimbledon has been canceled.
Yeah, not postponed.
Canceled.
Is gone.
First time. That's tennis, by the way.
Yeah.
First time that event won't happen since World War II.
The All England Club. That's my highfalutin voice there. I can't do an English accent. You want to give that a crack?
No.
Something told me you were going with a really bad Cockney accent there. No.
The Chinese Basketball League was about ready to fire up again, but now that country is saying no go for any sports resuming. So they've been shut down since January. So if you were to put the U.S. on that same timeline, our sports would still be shut down into mid-June.
Yeah.
Which, if you draw a comparison.
And no one seems to think that's what, out of the norm. I think most people assume that that's kind of where we're headed.
Well, but that's the kind of thing. It's like you get your hopes up, and like China had been talking about their basketball would be back at the end of March.
Yeah.
And no, it's not back. And that's what sucks.
Number
you know,
four.
Like we'll get to August and we'll be like, hey, football, you know, maybe football's coming. And then it's like, it's not.
Because remember, you can't just have nothing until July and then all of a sudden just roll it back out there and be like, here's football.
I think the NFL should just take all of its players and personnel and go to South Dakota or Wyoming.
Training camp.
Yep. Set up shop in a remote part of the U.S. and just play it out there.
I think the NFLPA might have a problem with that.
According to a report out of Chicago, Major League Baseball executives are discussing a 100-game season that would begin July 1 and end October 15th. The World Series would be hosted at a neutral, warm-weather site, possibly Dodger Stadium. But if the Dodgers were to make it, they'd move it to Anaheim or San Diego.
Really? That's interesting, because the Super Bowl you can play in your home stadium. Because baseball doesn't want to view it as any
They want
sort
it
of
to be neutral.
Neutral.
No surprise here, MLB has canceled its London series, which was scheduled for June. That would have been between the Cubs and Cards.
Number three.
One of the top pocket passers in the class of 2021, four-star quarterback Sawyer Robertson, has committed to Mike Leach at Mississippi State.
Yeah, this was a big deal. I mean, he had offers from pretty much everybody.
6'3", 185. He's out of Lubbock, Texas. Second highest ranked commit for the Bulldogs since 2015. ESPN has him number 51 in their top 300. Remember, Leach also has two transfer quarterbacks coming in. He's got Alan Walters from Vanderbilt.
Isn't that the kid from SMU transferring there too?
No, KJ Costello.
Oh, Costello.
Costello went to Mississippi State.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You know, he was beat up, but you know,
by the way,
was
that guy's gonna sling. I bet you Costello wins that job
and
he'll
it.
Light it up.
Yeah. Well, and we all knew that when Mike Leach went there, that instantly, like, if you're a quarterback and why wouldn't you want to go play at Mike Leach? You know, any sort of offense that he's in, you're going to put up ridiculous numbers, especially with the whole, you know, NFL thing now where the spread, those quarterbacks aren't being viewed the same way. It's not a death sentence coming out of one of these offenses.
Sources say Jadeveon Clowney is lowering his asking price. Apparently, it's dropped into the $17 to $18 million a year range.
And Seattle supposedly is preparing to make an offer. We don't know if it's going to be in the $17 to $18 million range. But originally, like, you were hearing that Seattle was somewhere in that $16 to $17 million range. So all of a sudden, maybe that is something that that he might be interested in. Also, the Titans supposedly pretty high on Clowney. Just the market never developed for him. the way that that he was hoping for.
Yeah, so the others saying it's only Seahawks and Titans.
Yeah.
It's just main suitors.
Just those two, and then, you know, you still have Everson Griffen out there. And so if Seattle doesn't end up with Clowney, supposedly there was interest there from both sides. And by the way, that's not a bad consolation prize, and that one's only going to cost you between $7 and $8 million a year. So my guess is that if it's Tennessee and Seattle, how much you want to bet that once the Clowney domino falls, wherever he goes, Everson Griffen goes the other way?
On that same note, defensive end Adrian Claiborne is headed to the Browns today. 2 years, $6 million. He's pretty much a rotational veteran now, formerly of the Falcons and the Bucks.
Yeah, former first-round pick.
And number one is that Oregon football got a grad transfer quarterback today. He's a three-year starter at Boston College, a kid by the name of Anthony Brown. Two of his three seasons there ended with injuries. When he did play, though, he threw for 4,700 yards and 40 touchdowns. He can also run some. We'll talk more about him in our next segment and what can be expected there. Meanwhile, the Ducks lose a commitment from four-star offensive lineman Josh Simmons out of La Mesa, California. He originally verbaled in January, but I guess he got an offer from Michigan that was like, he was like, whoa.
Yeah, dream
didn't
offer.
Didn't expect that.
Yeah.
And he also wants to go take a look at LSU, so he is backing off of Oregon, but says they're still in the mix. And then in basketball, a Pac-12 note, Washington's Isaiah Stewart is officially a one and done. He has declared for the NBA draft. He was all Pac-12 in his only season.
No surprise there.
The Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. Whatever you do, do it with Coors Light. Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Let's talk about this quarterback the Ducks got next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up, we'll tell you what sportsers may be joining Tiger and Phil in their made-for-TV match that could go off in May for COVID relief.
Is it you?
God.
Is it part of the Rop Slam?
I would just be walking around with a giant tent pitched that whole time if they asked me to do that. And I would not turn it down. I would go.
How bad would you play under the pressure of that?
I pitch tents in the trees.
You think
probably.
You think you could hold it together?
I think I could. I think I could hit some shots. I wouldn't play great, but man, that'd be fun. Anyway, we'll get to that. Nothing really significant ever happens here.
Yeah.
So please understand that when I say the other significant thing going on today here on the show is not really that significant. Significant, that word means something different to us than it may to you out there. But it is significant that if you're just tuning in, Mike has completed the McDonald's 90-minute challenge.
Yes. He had it earlier. Yes. Mike ate three double quarter pounders, a quarter pounder, two large fry, a 20-piece nugget with sauce, and four Diet Cokes.
But they were larges.
Because he's a candy ass.
They were larges.
He did it, and he did it in 74 minutes, and he did not puke. And we would like to ask you now how you're feeling.
Terrible. I feel absolutely terrible.
Yeah, describe it.
Well, the...
in great detail, please.
The burping was the worst part. I mean, that was what made me the fullest. But as it's now being digested, my body is like rejecting everything. I feel awful.
I was going to say earlier, you seen like, because we were checking in on
like uncomfortable, awful, like, do you feel sluggish? Do you feel uncomfortable? Like you're going to throw up? Do you feel?
I've never really felt like this before. It's really hard to describe. I feel like everything is wrong at the same time.
Everything is wrong.
Yeah.
Is it shame, Mike?
No.
Is that what this is?
Definitely not
the
shame.
The shame glaze is now taking a hold.
You just ate 6,000 calories.
5,000 calories.
Oh, it was only 5?
Like 5,100, yeah. Oh.
Mike's going to go home tonight.
There's some upside.
Watch free Pornhub premium because of the coronavirus and realize that he ate 6,000 calories at McDonald's, and he's going to have like a, you know, like a what am I doing with my life sort of moment. He's going to be laying there like in the Barco lounger and just be like, what? What am I doing?
Look, part of this is his fault because he flexed his Twitter muscles.
He did.
That because this was a meme or like something going around on social media, and he was like, please. Well, he did it to your credit. He didn't back down. He did it. How bad was it? Just on the scale,
it was really bad.
It was.
Yeah. The sodas are the worst part, but I feel awful.
So tomorrow when I bring in the two large pizzas, is that going to be better or worse when you eat those?
I'm not eating those.
My goal is to see how much weight.
Friday we'll have 800 wings for you.
I want to see how much weight we can get Mike to gain over this lockdown. He's just going to come out Ben Stiller of dodgeball fame when this is all said and done. What do you feel about chicken?
Well, we're proud of you, Mike. Nice work.
Don't be too proud. Thank you, though.
Now, Oregon got this Anthony Brown kid from Boston College.
Yeah, I guess he was pretty, this was one of the bigger grad transfers that were going to be out there. A lot of people want this kid. He was a 3-year starter at BC, had some injury problems. He did lose to Kansas last year.
Now, why are you burping so much?
I think it's just like a sympathy burp. I'm looking at Mike and I'm feeling bad that he ate all that food. Either that or I had to stop and realize that he did lose to Kansas last year. And not just lost to Kansas, but it was a blowout loss to Kansas.
Yeah, they kicked their ass.
Yeah.
That should tell you something. Although that's not his fault. I mean, kind of is. They suck. Like Boston College sucked. I remember watching them in the bowl game and I don't remember if he was playing or not.
No idea. He got hurt after the bowl game. He only played 6 games last year, and then he had a leg injury, and he was out for the rest of the year.
Dude, they were terrible.
Yeah.
So he's a grad transfer, so he will be able to play right away. A couple of things here. Just from, let's see, is this CBS Sports, I think, or is it Sports Illustrated? Yeah, Sports Illustrated wrote this little bit about him. This is Pete Thamel. He said, the senior was the starter for the Eagles over the past 3 seasons, 2 of which ended with leg injuries. This year, he suffered a non-contact injury against Louisville that ended up being a knee injury, one that was eerily similar to the injury he suffered in 17. During his time at Boston College, 4,738 yards, 40 touchdowns. He was a polarizing player because at times he was making great throws, but other times really struggled, especially with some of these short and intermediate throws. He was also mobile at times, more so when he was healthy and ran the ball effectively. Arguably, his best game as an Eagle came against Wake Forest in 2018 when he was electric, throwing for 304 yards and a career-best 5 touchdowns. Boston College won by 7. So, I don't know. What does this mean for Shuck?
Well, I don't think it means anything for Shuck. By all accounts, it's his job to lose, right?
Who?
Tyler Shucks. Like, he is the heir apparent. Everyone seems to be...
Why would this kid go to Oregon, then?
Well, because...
If he was so coveted...
It's one of those situations that this isn't going to be a guy, especially coming off of 2 shortened seasons, where anyone's going to give him the keys, unless you want to go someplace, low down the totem pole.
Do we know where else he was looking?
It just says that everything I've read said that he was one of the more sought after ones. So what exactly that means, I don't know. I tried to find a list of other schools that he was considering. That's just all it said. But they lost out on the Wake Forest kid, who seemingly was like this, where not huge numbers, but again, he's a 3-year starter in a Power 5 conference. I'm sure he had options. And I think if you're Oregon, remember, you don't have any experience, whether you're talking about, was it Cale Millen? You've got Butterfield coming in, who's a highly rated guy. I think it was Robbie Ashford is another one. And then Shuck. So you've got a lot of stars attached to kids' names. No one's taking any live bullets. I mean, I guess Shuck, you did see in brief moments last year, but he hasn't played meaningful snaps. So I think anytime you're going into the college football season and you can have a guy that's a 3-year starter, that's going to be a graduate transfer, that's good. Whether or not he ends up playing for Oregon, whether he ends up pushing Shuck or any of the other guys, whether he just provides a security blanket and is a calm voice in the locker room and on the sidelines, to me, this is signing like Tyrod Taylor, right? That's what this is. You've got a guy that's done it before, that's put up some numbers, he's won some games, but he's not spectacular. And if you have to go with him, great. But I think ideally Oregon wants Butterfield or Shuck or one of the other guys to kind of take this job and run with it. But I love the fact that Oregon now has a guy that's been a 3-year starter that gives you a little bit of a security blanket.
Well, I'd like to see what else he was looking at because it's hard to see him starting. But again, injuries, you never know. But he's only got 1 year. You would think he would go somewhere where he would have the best chance to play. But again, we don't know where else he was looking. So. Sure. Maybe he looks at
he looks at the situation and says,
right,
young. That's a big time program with a lot of young guys. And I've got a chance to go there, beat him out because I've got experience. Oh, and by the way,
it's true
for a lot of places or a lot of guys. Oregon is a dream place. It's a dream school for people.
Yeah. He's like maybe saying, hey, it's pretty cool to go there. Seen a lot about the Duckies and, Nike and all that. Go there. Check out something different. Another part of the country. And oh, by the way, their quarterbacks are all young. Maybe I got a shot.
Yeah.
And who knows if there's an injury. So they have Shuck, who's a redshirt sophomore. Butterfield's a true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And by all accounts, that that's the stud, right?
That's
isn't Butterfield supposed to be like the guy?
Butterfield, I think, was the number two or three pro style quarterback in the country. He was a big deal. They went after the kid that ended up at Clemson, the Polynesian kid. Didn't get him, and then they landed on Butterfield.
And then you have
Cale Millen.
And who's I don't know what are his prospects?
He's another. That's Millen's son, the former UW quarterback.
Yeah, it's Hugh Millen's kid. What is the outlook for him?
I don't know. I don't know what the You don't hear much about him. The one that you hear
he's
about,
always mentioned last.
But that doesn't mean anything. I mean, Herbert wasn't very highly thought of when he ended up on campus, and Mariota wasn't the guy. But the two that seemingly you hear about is that it'll be a battle between Shuck and Butterfield, and now you throw in the BC transfer in there.
All right. Well, I guess that can't hurt, right? I think a lot of people are freaking out because they're like, well, the young guys, guys transfer now. Yeah. These kids are like, why are you bringing that guy in? I'm out of here. But, I think that's unfounded fear.
Sure.
At least right now.
Well, you can see, like, I could see.
Because even if he wins a starting job, Brown, he's gone in a year.
I could see, Butterfield coming as a freshman isn't going anywhere. But I could see, if Shuck has waited his 2 years and then gets beat out,
mm-hmm.
Maybe not by Brown, but if Jay Butterfield ends up winning the job, I could see Shuck leaving. I mean, and at that point, it's like, how long do you want to sit around and wait when you're waiting behind a freshman? But, that's just the nature of the beast. If you get beat out by someone younger than you and you were a highly thought of guy and you've got places to go, very few kids are sticking around.
That's true. And then the other thing people will do is they will look at this and go, this may mean that Moorhead doesn't like Shuck.
Yeah.
People take leaps like that.
And I don't buy it. I just think it's a security blanket. And I think it's a smart one for Oregon.
All right, up next, the latest on this Tiger Phil match. Here's Big Fat Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
A couple of texts are saying, hey, maybe he's actually interested in the grad program.
Maybe he wants a job at Nike afterwards.
That's true.
Has there ever been a grad transfer in the history of the world that actually went somewhere for a grad program?
I bet there are a few, but that's a good
Stanford
point.
Kid.
The Nike thing, just get in with Nike. You're about to graduate. I don't know what he's already graduated, but I mean, I don't know what his degree's in, but maybe he's I could maybe,
Sure. Right.
Get in with Nike.
Get your foot in the door. There are a lot of former Duck players that do work out at Nike.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, if you are talking about schools where you can, have a nice hookup afterwards, as far as, alumni, a lot worse than going to the University of Nike.
Okay. So Tiger and Phil. We talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, Phil was he was tweeting about this.
Well, somebody asked him. They said, "Hey, man, we're starving for sports, man. Yeah, Can you just get on TV with Tiger and get a match going like you guys did at Shadow Creek in Vegas?"
Yeah, give me a little something.
And Phil responded by, "It's in the works," and everybody flipped out.
They're like, "Don't tease me, bro."
And he said, "I don't tease." So now we have more reporting on this. So people are looking into it. This is from golf.com. And, of course, you remember Tiger versus Phil in Vegas, the pay-per-view one.
Yeah.
And
screwed up because the pay-per-view crashed, and so they had to release it for free to everybody.
Yeah, everybody watched it for free. That was in November of 18. And according to golf.com, the rematch might take on a team element.
Ooh.
Namely, a partner format that includes Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Now, question here. Do we know if Tom Brady or Peyton Manning is good at golf?
No. They love to golf, but they're not good at golf. Is that important? Do you need them to be good at golf?
Well, no.
Or is it better to have... This is like Bill Murray's idea of putting
hacking around
an average person right next to the pro so you can see how good the pros actually are.
You know what? It would be kind of fun if you did an alternate shot thing, right? So Tiger and Phil pipe one in the middle of the fairway, and then you get to watch Tom and Peyton screw this thing up.
The concept would call for Woods to pair with one quarterback while Mickelson teams with the other. According to the report, various parties are coming together to organize the match, which would be played on an unnamed Florida course instead of in Las Vegas for the first iteration. The match would be shown on regular Turner programming, with advertising revenue going to charity as opposed to pay-per-view. The distribution option chosen for the original match which led to mass refunds. The proposed timing would be 2 weeks before any major league gets back to business.
So it would be a little island in this whole mess of Corona. I actually think it's kind of fun. Originally, I was like, really, Phil and then Brady?
It'd be great.
I think that'd be kind of fun.
And they'll be mic'd up.
Well, especially if they let their hair down a little bit and Peyton and Brady provide some levity in that. Although, wouldn't you think there's some better personalities than Tom Brady? Like Peyton Manning, like at least in commercials and has done SNL, Brady seems like a bit of a drip.
Yeah, who would you want him? Like, well, I just mentioned Bill Murray.
Yeah.
He loves golf. Like throw Bill Murray in there.
Yeah, throw Bill Murray in the mix. Or I'm trying to think of someone in like an NFL quarterback again with like a big personality.
Tony Romo.
Yeah. Romo's really good. But
he's a good player.
Yeah, something like that would be better. I just don't think that Brady, you know, that's just a name. I don't know how good that is.
Yeah, but a name draws eyeballs.
Sure.
Especially that one named Tom's Braids.
Yeah.
So they said to comply with social distancing guidelines, the match would reportedly be played without spectators, with all players remaining at least 6 feet away from one another during play, which
I think you could have some fun with that, by the way.
What do you mean?
Like having to stay 6 feet away from your partner the entire time.
Well, I've golfed a few times during this, and that is not hard to do.
No.
It is not hard to avoid each other out there.
But again, couldn't you have some fun with that and make fun of like your, you know, the fake high fives? And
For sure.
Yeah. You can have some fun with that.
Yeah, and the PGA Tour issued a statement yesterday. They said discussions along these lines have been ongoing for quite some time, but nothing has been approved by the tour. Mm. So that's where we're at.
Can I ask you a question, too, like with the golf thing? Do you really – I'm asking 100% honesty. Don't BS me. When you're golfing –
Do I ever BS you?
Yes, you do. You're golfing. Do you really – so you're out there with one other – are you going out with a buddy or are you just random people?
Me?
Yeah.
Usually, well, almost always buddies.
Okay, so you're out there
golfing. I usually fill my foursome.
You're out there golfing with a buddy.
With people.
Yeah. Are you really staying? Now, are you staying 6 feet? Of, like, is that something that you're like, no, get away from me? And like in the parking lot, you're not?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, really? I'm telling you, I've played several times. And so what they're doing on golf courses now is they have the cups that nobody touches the flag. You leave the flag in.
Sure.
And they have the cups where you don't have to reach into the cup and get your ball. Langdon has, they've done two different ways, but they have these cups where the ball, you can tell that if it's going to go in, mm-hmm. but then it just kicks it out and then you just pick up your ball and move on. So you don't have to, you don't have to do that.
Okay.
So the golf cart rule is just one person on a golf cart at a time. You can't double up, but most people are walking. And yes, absolutely. We're all very, everybody's aware of this,
sure.
and they're trying to do their part. It's not that hard to do. I mean, we were standing around talking in the clubhouse at Langdon after a round the other day, and it was funny. I was noticing it. Everybody's just like in a big circle, further away than you normally are. But you're all, you're still goofing off just like you always do.
I haven't played golf or
I will say, it's sometimes you can lose sight of. Say you're marking your ball on the green.
Yeah.
And a guy's walking around you to go get to his ball or something. You can be closer than 6 feet, right? Like sometimes that does happen. You try not to.
Yeah.
But sometimes it does. But generally speaking, at least from the bros I've played with and from what I've witnessed.
People are.
Absolutely.
Okay.
People are taking it seriously, even out there. I mean, you don't want to be a douche.
No.
You know, but you it's also nice to be able to just play. And so you want to. Follow the guidelines,
Yeah, you see it, like, as they say, like, hey, you don't want to be in large groups, but if you're in groups of two or three, I wondered if people are still taking that same, hey, stay the hell away from me.
Absolutely. No fist bumps, no high fives. Occasionally you'll get the elbow five,
Yeah.
But that's probably a little too close.
A low foot.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I did see where, I don't remember what country it was, but they did have remember I was joking, there was the guy on the New York subway that had done the, pool floaties. He had taped a bunch of pool floaties to himself so you couldn't get near him. I saw, I don't remember what country it was. I think it was it may have been a Latin American country, but they had those on their police officers that were out there. They had like kind of like parking cones and they'd attach them to the officers so that, when they were out there dealing with the people, you couldn't get close to the officer. I was like, hey, they're doing the pool floaty thing, but with parking cones.
Charles Barkley would be good to put in there. That would be great.
Yeah.
And those guys would give Charles so much crap.
I think he's so bad, I don't think you could do it, though. You have to have someone that at least can, keep it in the fairway.
Well, like we'll see.
He's a bad golfer.
We'll see about Brady
and Manning
and Peyton.
I would assume being quarterbacks, you have to be somewhat good, right?
Well, quarterbacks and pitchers.
Yeah, aren't they all talented? Like, it's just, it kind of goes hand in hand.
Somebody brought up Steph Curry.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Be a good one.
He's a good golfer and a good personality. You know who else is a good golfer? I mean, if you want ratings and you want a name.
Throw me out there. I'll take it.
There's one man and one man only besides you. Yours truly, O.J. Simpson.
Oh, the juice.
I mean, are you kidding me? Who golfs more than the juice? And find me someone that's got a bigger name than O.J.
That's oh so wrong yet.
Throw the juice out there on the course.
So right.
Yes. I don't know who you pair him with, Phil or Tiger, but
dude, hey,
you want to talk about driving ratings? You want eyeballs? You put OJ out there.
I would love nothing more than smart-ass Phil cracking murder jokes at OJ the whole time.
Yes, it would be unbelievable.
Oh, so good.
And then the juice snaps.
Kills them all.
Whoops.
Live on TV.
Yeah.
Boy, that'd be a ratings bonanza.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, a wild card sports segment on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, somebody said you put the juice in that Tiger Phil TV match. OJ's golf glove wouldn't fit. Wouldn't that be funny? He's standing on the first tee, he's trying to get that thing on.
I mean, with the exception of the fact that you're making fun of two people dying in a brutal fashion, it would be great TV. Ron Goldman shows up. What's the dad?
Yeah, Ron.
Is it Ron? Ron Goldman.
Marv?
I forget. Whatever. I think Ron Goldman's the one that got murdered. And then the dad. Yeah, he wouldn't let that fly. He would show up and like run OJ over with a golf cart.
It would be highly inappropriate.
Yes, it would.
To throw a murderer out there with him. But I could just see Phil giving him crap like, oh man, you murdered that drive, juice. You know?
OJ takes the cart and runs off. Driving all around. What if you put Carol Baskin on the other team? You could have OJ and Carol talk about not killing their spouses.
That's a good tease for our Fun with Audio segment coming up.
Oh, yeah. You said OJ was talking about the Tiger
Fred
King.
Fred Goldman. Fred. We have audio of the Jews talking about Tiger King.
Is he on Twitter again?
Well, yeah. That's how he talks to his fans.
He gets his
Twitter videos.
He gets his message out there.
He posts... OJ posts like 1 to 2 minute videos.
Yeah.
And he does them occasionally, not too many. And he's always just got hot takes. You know, he's got big thoughts. He thinks they're, you know, it could be anything from Tiger King to sports to
COVID. Yeah, he's always solving some sort of world crisis.
And he always opens his vids and it's just him shooting them. And he's usually at a golf course. And he says, he always opens them by saying, "What up, Twitter world?" Or what does he say? It's
yours truly.
Oh, yeah. What up, Twitter world? Yours truly.
As if we're confusing him with anyone else. another ex-Hall of Famer murderer.
And he always wraps it up with like, I can't remember the exact words, but it's like the Forrest Gump. Like, that's all I have to say about that. He always has something like that at the very end.
Oh, now, we'll hear it.
Is it wrong? Like, I try not to be a hateful person, and I don't try to wish ill on anyone, but if I wanted to wish the coronavirus on one person, because OJ's elderly.
He's a good candidate.
If OJ gets it, is it okay that if I high-fived Corona at that point? It's like, all right, let's do this.
Harvey Weinstein would probably come up, but he already got it.
I think he's got it.
Yeah, he got it.
And I thought it was hilarious. I hope he gets the bad kind.
What if OJ starts hitting the ball and they're like, dang, OJ, what a slice.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. The most uncomfortable but riveting television of all time. You're like, I'm not going to make this putt, but if I did, this is how I'd do it.
Somebody said Phil could play with Bryson DeChambeau. Might make Phil seem interesting because DeChambeau's a douche.
Well,
Phil is interesting, though. I tell you what,
I think Phil has alleviated some of the douche concern. Like, he had a bad...
Well, he's a douche, but he'll admit it. Phil is an interesting dude.
Yeah.
He really is. He's really good on social media. He's pretty honest and he's a thoughtful guy. He's an interesting guy. Watch the, who's the old,
Faraday?
Yeah. Watch the Faraday with Phil. It's a two-parter.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting one. And then go watch the Faraday with Bryson DeChambeau, and you'll see what that guy's talking about.
I do enjoy that Phil has somehow, because Phil's a country club kid, and I love how Phil somehow has cultivated the everyman sort of
Well, they
vibe.
Love him.
I understand that, but like you couldn't, like he is as
fake thumbs
he
up.
Is as white and privileged as anyone that's ever played golf, and yet somehow he does the, you know, because he gives you the thumbs up. It's like when Jeff Merkley wears a hard hat in his ads and is like, no, I hang out in my garage and wear cargo pants just like you. And like, well, hell, he's one of us. Phil manages to do that better than anyone. I love when the rich and famous don't want you to know that they're like wealthy and privileged. They're like, nah, yeah, I'm just like you, except after I put on my pants, I get on my private jet.
What if OJ has Al Cowlings driving his golf cart?
God. Huh? I'm not going to lie. That would be the single greatest moment in TV history if he rolls up to Shadow Creek and it's a white golf cart and it's Cowlings. And it's one of those four-person cars, so OJ's in the back. Al's just in the front by
laying
himself.
Laying down in the back. God.
Wow.
Yeah. Horrible. But
that
great.
Is horrible. It's awful that we're even talking about that.
Awful. If by awful you mean fantastic.
Yeah.
Game, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm out of stuff for sports.
I thought you had something. What were we going to
do? Nah, it was a wild card. Wild card segment. And that, I could tell you what Melo said.
What?
But. That'll start a whole thing. I'll do that tomorrow.
Okay. You don't want to go down that...
Not right now.
You don't want to go it's down that rabbit hole just yet?
It's too late. Okay. Not after all the juice jokes.
Well, where do you go after
Well,
after
we go straight
OJ.
To juice audio. That's what we do.
Oh, that's.
I've got audio of the juice.
That's nice synergy right there.
I've also got audio of Larry David. What do you think of the last season of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
If you haven't been watching it, shame on you. It's because a lot of... Because this is like, what, season 9, 10? Like we're a ways into this.
I think it's 10.
And I'll tell you what, it's as good as ever. This season, I thought with maybe the layoff and you know, sometimes you get to the end of these things and it's not like you can stay past your prime. This season's of Curb was phenomenal.
Well, I think there's two schools of thought on it. One, it's just over the top.
Yes.
Because if you haven't watched the new season of Curb, it really is hilarious. But it's just nonstop. Like he has taken it. He just put it on steroids.
Yes.
And every turn he's running into something different. So some people may think it's too much, too over the top.
Sure.
But I'm with you. I think it's just been his best season yet.
Yeah. If you steer into the skid, like if you want subtlety, this is not the season for
no,
you.
No.
But if you want Larry on full tilt and Leon, by the way, who I just, can I just say that he is criminally underrated? Like, if you're putting out best supporting characters, because he's not a main character, right? And if you don't know who Leon is, he's J.B. Smooth, and he plays Larry's, I don't know, friend, roommate.
It's his roomie.
Yeah, well, he lives in his guest house. He moved in, because Larry was dating, and it was at Vivica Fox, and he just never left. I guess like a Cato sort of situation. That is one of, if I had to put together my top five supporting TV characters of all time, Leon is in my top five.
He does a great job.
He's amazing. He's like Kramer, but I mean, it's tough to say he's better than Kramer because Seinfeld is so big, but I think he's better than Kramer. I freaking love him.
Can I just state?
The Big Johnson Club?
Can I just state that Jeff Garland does nothing for me?
You're not a Garland guy?
I cannot stand him on there.
Really?
Yeah, I just, there's something about him.
Oh, see, I
don't think he's good.
I like the subtlety of him. And then you get the Richard Lewis angle. And
oh, Richard Lewis is golden. Absolute gold on there. And then they've also added a new friend this year at his golf club.
John Hamm?
No, well, Hamm's in it. But yeah. What's his nuts? Tall Republican guy.
Tall Republican guy?
Freaking, what's his nuts? Come on.
Who are we talking about?
Oh, my God. Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah.
Vince Vaughn is in it.
Vince Vaughn's a Republican?
Oh, yeah.
He's like a big...
He's kind of hardcore Republican.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But
you threw me with the Republican thing. I was like, what?
Who's... Vince Vaughn is in it, and Vince Vaughn's just greatness.
Yeah.
And it's prototypical Vince Vaughn, and he's buddies with Larry as
it's
well.
It's all just fantastic.
So good. Anyway, I've got a clip of Larry... talking about COVID.
Yeah.
Because they made him. They made him put out a... You know, they're making all these people put out statements. Like Bill Belichick did one.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and it's really bad.
Well, it looks like it's a weird hostage sort of video. Like, Bill, blink twice if you're okay. He's just sitting there in his weird, awkward chair, and he's got his polo tucked in. And
he's reading it. Like, yeah. Terry Stotts did one.
Hey, Blazer Nation. I want to do one of those for us and make you read a prepared statement. Hey, Fan Nation, this is Isaac Rupp. These are tough times for us all. I would like to remind you.
Well, Larry did one for COVID, and it's great. And then Danny McBride scares his kids. So that'll be fun with audio coming up next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.